Thank you for listening to our New Life Christian Center podcast. Stay tuned after the sermon for more ways to connect with us.
Find in your Bible 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's our jumping off spot for this time. And we'll get you started. So, praise the Lord. Thank you for your prayers for Amber. So we had the boys from Wednesday a week ago, and then all through the last week helping them. And you kind of forget as a grandparent how much running around they all do. And so I was just in and out of the car, you know, taking them from place to place, and had my office time in the middle of the school day. And up there, they do some really interesting scheduling things to facilitate bus movement. And anyway, so the junior high doesn't start at the same time as the grade school, which doesn't start at the same time as the high school. So, you know, and then they don't always get out at the same time because of that. And then, of course, there's sports and activities. And so I actually went to a 8-year-old flag football practice, which is pretty interesting as well, if you've ever, you know, when you're 8 years old, if you're the fastest, you're the star, because nobody can catch you. And doesn't mean you know anything about football, just means you can outrun people. And if it happens to be a girl, it's kind of an embarrassing deal. And so I did watch a team that had a girl that was quite a screamer, and so she would, and around the corner she would go. And so it was interesting. She isn't on the boys' team, so I suppose they have to play her eventually. So anyway, but thank you for praying. Amber's doing well, got out of the hospital. We left a week ago tomorrow. We left in the morning, and they called as we were wherever we were and said, hey, they're kicking us loose. And so she got out a day early and did really well throughout the week, and they're ready to handle things on their own again. So Tracy and I will try to have our normal weeks now. So... But we'll just see how that works. So, amen. Yeah, what's normal? Normal is always defined by what we want. So, just in case you're ever wondering, if you want to go back to normal, you want to go back to backwards in life, and that doesn't always work. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to start. We're talking about the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take a couple more weeks to lay out these things that the Bible talks about. We're also going to today take some interesting viewpoints, possibly to get you to process and think about things in a little different light. And so anyway, let's pray together. Father, teach us by your Holy Spirit, by your living word today, as we just examine and explore. We know, Father God, that it's your intent to deliver to us those things you promised for us. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's the passage that we keep going back to because it teaches us or shows us that God set out a process to move us from the natural to the spiritual. In verse number 5, it says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. One of the things that you have to kind of process is that it's God's intent to move you from a natural understanding to a spiritual understanding. And if you don't buy into that, then you'll continually try to understand the things of God with your natural mind. And how many of you recognize there's just some things that happen in life that aren't explainable naturally? You know, if God is a loving God, then why are there starving people, right? And you can hear that. And people talk about that. Well, if God was God, you know, why doesn't he do this? Well, actually, he gave you some of that responsibility. And that's what we don't like about it, is that sometimes in this world that is affected by sin, we have a responsibility as carriers of hope, right? See, it's why it's bad when Christians walk around like they're selling lemonade. You know, they got that look on their face because they've been testing it too much. And you know, first time you test lemonade, it is absolutely too sour. And it kind of affects your way you process that thing. And so anyway, he prepares us. He says, he who prepares us for this very thing is God. He's put in motion a process. Actually, it's a covenant. It's a contract, so to speak, that God puts in motion with us that we need to understand the fine print. So here's some of the interesting things that I want to point out to you. If you'll just turn to the book of John chapter 14, that's what we're going to do. But how many of you know that when you use the YouVersion app, if you're using a digital Bible right now, if you're in your phone and using a digital app in your phone, how many of you know that if you do that, inside the fine print of that application is a license that allows them to find out where you are? I thought, man, that put off some serious conversation. Do you all recognize that? That if you get in the YouVersion today and you turn it on and it will know, if you have your services, it'll know where you're sitting. If you've ever used a map application, it'll tell you that you're 25, especially if you use it in the walking mode, you push a little man on it, it'll say you're 25 feet from something. It knows where you are. Not only does it know that, but you've given them the right in the small print to follow the digital address of your phone. So if you go into Computers R Us at the mall, and you walk for another hour, and then you turn on Facebook or any of those other things because that organization knew you were there, or somebody knew that, they will send you ads on your Facebook page or wherever you go that line up with where you've been, right? Because inside the licensing that you just click yes, how many of you, when you download something, you just click yes? Right? You do. You just click yes. Well, guess what? You just gave them permission in the fine print to know where you are and the address of your phone. Now, not the address like where you live, but your phone is then attached to your physical, generally speaking, if that's how you pay your bill, your physical address. So in your mail comes unsolicited advertisement for stuff. All because you clicked and agreed to a contractual obligation. I know some of you are going, wait, I didn't know I was doing that. Well, here's the thing. If you try and turn it off, then you oftentimes just turn it off for everything. And so then, like maps, if you're trying to get somewhere, your maps won't work because you turned off that part. And most of us, are, you know, other than maybe Jeremy, are not really technologically skilled enough to actually walk and chew gum when it comes to how our phone works. And so we just do that. But you see, what I'm trying to get you to see is inside the fine print is a contractual obligation that you agreed to. How many of you recognize that happens? How many of you recognize that when we're born again, the Holy Spirit, sent by God Himself, agreed to by Jesus, is sent to you with fine print? Right? So with fine print. And many of you are just stumbling your way through life, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, gives you something to trip over. Because it knows where you are. Come on, you got your phone in your purse, in your pocket, or whatever. You know, mine's on my desk. Some of you are so awesome. You will text me during the sermon so that I have a timestamp of when the point was said that you like. It's awesome. And so I look at that, and oftentimes I don't look at my phone until, you know, if I'm going to lunch, somebody's in my car, you know, it might be 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know, you type me at 11:42, and you say, oh, that was a good one, Pastor. Well, good what? Well, I know when you sent it, because on my phone, it tells me the time that it came in. And I suppose if I was really good enough, I could figure out where you were and what you were doing and how to send you advertisements. Come on, it's been used that way. The point is that when there is a contractual obligation that you agree to, it works whether you like it or not. Okay, are you track? I tried to do the little twist thing for you. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, He comes with the fine print of God. Whether you like it or not. How many of you know you go through some stuff that you don't like that God at least allowed and probably circumstantially allowed in your life to teach you a bigger truth? That's the fine print. We go, well, I don't like that. Well, too bad. You understand that what God does is not up for our approval. And so there's fine print throughout. And if we use this digital picture, which I don't know why this hit me, but, you know, I'll tell you why. We had lunch with Greg and Julie Gorman in Brighton. And they said to us, well, what's fun to do? We're in Brighton. What's fun to do around here? And so because you've all heard my crumble cookie stories, the first fun thing to do in Brighton was 0.1 miles away. Let's get a cookie. Right? And so pictures of cookies and, you know, and you can go over there. You order online, and when you show up, because I've ordered from them before, they oftentimes recognize my car. Now, it's different people. Why? Because when they bring it out to your car, in the pandemic, when they brought it out to your car, they said, what kind of car do you have? See, it's not that I'm such a great customer, which I probably am, but that's not the point. The point is, when I ordered one time, I said, I'm in a black car. And so when you pull up in your black car with the insignia on the front, whatever kind of car you have, they look out there and say, hey, I'm driving a black Lincoln. There's a black Lincoln out front. Take him some cookies. He ordered cookies. Why? Because inside of all of that stuff is fine print. Now you see, here's what happens. In your phone life, some of you openly complain about the fact that when you open up whatever you open up and you get an ad that is actually unsolicited but came from the rest of your, you know, your internet stuff, you look, man, this is kind of creepy, right? They know you know, I mean, they knew that I was within walking distance of a crumble cookie outlet. That's kind of creepy. Okay, and so we don't like that. And yet, when God said it, we also don't like it. Because He allows for us to, come on, how many of you have ever ran into the wall that God put where you thought there should be a door? Bam! We're supposed to be a door here. No man can close any door that God opens. Well, it doesn't mean He'll build a door there. You may need to move over where the door is. Amen. And so in John chapter 14, notice that it says, beginning in about verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, it's kind of interesting that some of the fine print we read and say, if I love him, I need to keep the commandments that I like. And, you know, we do that. I'm telling you, I love the idea of, like, spiritual authority. Do y'all love that idea? Have any of you ever tried to use your actual spiritual authority to do something that aligned itself not with God? How many ever tried to cast the devil out of your life only to find out that it was probably closer to God than it was to the devil? And boy, you're just screaming and yelling like as if the devil is hard of hearing, right? And we say to ourselves, why isn't this working? And then we have 3x5 note cards or a whole selection of things on our phone that prove our point. So here's my issue. You all have a fundamental self-made filter. You hear what you want to hear because you already agree with it. Okay, so if the Holy Spirit is sent to lead you into the truth you already have, that would work really, really well. But look at this. It says, my Father, verse 16, I'll pray the Father. He said, I'll ask, and he will give you another helper. This is where we were last week, another of the same kind, right? He's going to be the same quality, same quantity, all that kind of stuff, that he may abide with you forever. The interesting point of this is that we want God when we want God. But sometimes we'd like God to leave us alone because we'd like to do what we'd like to do. How many of you know when I talk about crumble cookies, you have that thought process that says, wait a minute, Pastor, you're a little overweight. Maybe you should cut out the cookies. No, why? Because, okay, why don't you guys judge me? I mean, honestly, I've got legs that weigh more than some of you people. Why don't you judge me? You say, well, there's no reason, there's no help in judging somebody. You're right. But how many of you know that occasionally if you get too serious about judging someone else, that with the same measure that you measure it out, it'll be measured back to you by God. And so the conviction that comes from you judging someone else ends up resting rather significantly right on your own head. And we don't like that. And so we will give people grace. Come on, how many of you give people grace to some degree in areas where you've received grace? Right? Why? Because you know what it's like when the correction comes. So he said, he'll be with you forever. Well, that's encouraging. Why isn't he going to leave? You can't chase him off. Here's some fine print. Are you ready? You can't chase him off by behavior. Come on. You say, well, you know them people, they don't act right. Well, congratulations, none of us do. So what are we going to do about that? Well, we're going to take our standard. How many of you know when it's your standard, it's not God's standard? We're going to take our standard. What's our standard? Our standard is whatever we're doing good with. Right? I mean, that's how we do it. And we're going to use that. Well, that just won't work. And again, God will measure your own standard back on you. Bible promises that, small print. Look at this in verse 14 again, or chapter 14, verse 17. And the Spirit of truth. Here's the thing. It doesn't say the Spirit of the truth you've accepted. Sorry, I'm just trying to let it soak in a little bit. Most of us want the Spirit of what we've already accepted. And if you don't believe that, just look at your life. You have a collection of truths that make so much sense to you that you don't understand why somebody else doesn't use that same collection of truths. Dare I mention some of the things we've gone through? I always found it fascinating that both sides were saying the same thing as a result. If you get the vaccine, you're going to die. If you don't get the vaccine, you're going to die. Now, I just got to tell you, that's just personal truth. And I'm not here to argue with you. You can believe whatever you want. What I'm trying to get you to see is that the spirit of truth that most of us have and accept is because we already believe it. Right? We're just having it conform to us. And I'm telling you, the illiterate of the future are going to be those who refuse to relearn based on their own opinions. That'll hit you. Listen to that again next week and you'll go, wait, what did you say? I said you'll be illiterate if you refuse to relearn or unlearn and relearn or unlearn and new learn. Because there's just some stuff that God is doing that is so fresh that we have to grab a hold of it in such a way that we have to let go of the past. That's why Paul said, this one thing I do, lay hold of the future, let go of the past. That's two. Not in God. God never promised to be good at math. It's throughout the Bible. One man plus one woman equals one flesh. God's wrong again. One plus one is always two. No, it's not. And if you would grab that, then you would find out that when there's a divorce, the reason you got such interesting folks is because you got two half people running around. See, the solution to divorce is the understanding of God's fine print. Well, amen. That was. The spirit of the truth. Now look at this. Whom the world cannot receive. You cannot receive the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit's functional reality, contractual obligation. You cannot receive it in a worldly way. I'm just going to point out something to you, and you're just going to have to try and process this with me. But if you hope to understand the Holy Spirit in a worldly way, just good luck. Because he's going to do things. Come on, God has spoken to almost every one of you to do something that you were so uncomfortable with because you said inside yourself, what will others think? Amen or not? And you just went, wait a minute, if I do that, then people will think. First of all, what made you an expert on what other people think? If the Holy Spirit is here to lead you into all the truth, then what someone else thinks must not be a part of it. Well, amen. Are you tracking with me? Because see, the fine print says God promised, based on your digital address in the Spirit, to never leave you. You cannot possibly get away from him. He goes with you with every stupid thing we think, and he goes with us with every good thing we do and everything in between. He's not leaving. I mean, you just need to process. You say, well, but don't I need to stop doing that? Well, of course. See, the important part is you to understand the label of stupid. Sorry. But you can't just understand it in a worldly way, or you'll understand it and God will be the one who's wrong. One plus one equals one. Except in the world, where it actually is two. Huh. And so when we try and understand the spiritual's work, I'm always amazed with how much of God's stuff I ignore. Just functionally ignore it. Do you realize how much of your today is being goofed up by you carrying your yesterday? Right? What did he say? He said, this one thing I do, letting loose of what lies behind, grabbing forward what or grabbing a hold of what's ahead. Well, if your today isn't like what you like, you might ought to check what you've got in your spiritual suitcase. Because your banner of honor, based on what you've gone through, is the past. Well, but Pastor, you don't understand. God did this great thing for me. Okay, but if what you're celebrating And maybe the only thing you're celebrating is 5 years old or some number of years old. I'm telling you what, God wanted to do something in your life from that point to this point. Right? I mean, excuse me. I was always so thrilled when we got out as a family, got out of diapers. Just not a fan. Okay? Just not. Not a fan of diapers. And I was thrilled with that. And I only found out after diapers there was another thing. Right? Because I wanted them to talk. And then I wanted them to shut up. Right? Because what they said, you know, I mean, I have a son who followed me up a ladder at about 2 or 2.5. I'm convinced he thought he could fly. After he jumped, he yelled, "Catch me, Daddy." Yeah. Okie dokie. So I grabbed him by the leg, you know, I mean, he's flying. See, flying is not the issue. Landing is the issue. Takes some wisdom to understand that. Are you tracking with me? And so I can give you all these natural examples, but what I'm hoping you're doing is processing this spiritually so that you'll end up in this place where you say, wait a minute here, there's just some truths here that are in the fine print of the Bible that I need to pay more attention to. It said, he will lead me, the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither what? Do you see it? Sees him. The implication is, in the fine print, that you who are born again, you who are spiritual, have the ability to see him. Why is that important? Because Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Oh. So if we will look from our present position into the Spirit of truth, see him, it'll change how we do him. Yes and amen, right? Are you tracking with me? See, this is the fine print. This is the things in the Bible that you need to pay attention to because you've signed up for this and you didn't even realize what you were signing up for. And now the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, showing you things, and you're looking at them with natural understanding. Amen. Verse number 17, Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now forgive me for the bluntness of this, but this word is an expression of intimacy. It's the same word used when Mary said, how can I have a child? I have not known a man. Are y'all tracking with me naturally? She said, I have not slept with a man. In the spirit realm, reproduction works differently than in the natural realm. In the natural realm, you need two differences to come together to produce the same. Right? I'm sorry, if Adam and Steve sleep together, they'll never reproduce. But when Adam and Eve do, that's God's natural plan. Two different people coming together to produce the intent of God. Can you say hello to your marriage? Wait. God intended for two totally different people to come together and figure out how to do this? You will never figure it out in the natural. Because I'm just telling you, you are married to someone who is so radically different from you in every aspect of life. Your spouse is different than you. You say, well, but Pastor, you know, I love them. Well, I don't know how many ever watched Andy Griffith. I did because Andy Griffith and Gomer Pyle and pardon me? I still didn't hear you. No, the Andy Griffith Show. Remember who? You remember the criminal that was always on there? You remember his name? Ernest T. Bass. Remember what Ernest was always trying to do? He was always trying to get him a wife. And he would say, as he was arrested for throwing a rock through somebody's window with a note on it that said, "I love you." That's what he would say. And they'd throw him in jail. And they'd come and say, "Ernest T., you've got to quit throwing rocks through windows." And he says, "But I love her." Okay, that's not enough. Sorry. That won't work. "Oh, I love them." Well, Ernest T., just let me tell you something. The minute that you're justified in picking up the rock, you know you're being governed by something other than God, because it's anger that justifies holding the rock. Sorry. If you're going to pitch rocks through somebody else's window, first of all, make sure your window is open. Second of all, it's anger that justifies the position of holding the rock. You say, "Well, no, it's not." Yes, it is. Sorry. It's in the fine print. The anger of man will never accomplish the righteousness of God. Sorry. You say, "Well, but I'm justified." Of course, you're naturally justified. When somebody does something wrong to you, you are naturally justified. Congratulations. You are not spiritually justified. Sorry. Because you don't know him. The same Jesus who died for you died for the idiot. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 and about verse 11, "And such were some of you." I love that passage. Sorry. I went backwards. It says the world can't receive him because it neither knows him nor sees him, but you know him. Why? Because he dwells in you. Right? How many of you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? How many of you know he can be ignored? Okay. I mean, I've got some good stuff living in me. I mean, honest, I've got like the patience of God living in me, but I will tell you, I'm an expert at ignoring patience. An absolute expert. I sat behind somebody in traffic. I would honestly, I think I would become an axe murderer if I lived in the city. Help me, Jesus. And I don't get it. All these moms are, so I'm the grandpa in the delivery lane for school. It's like 7:30 in the morning, and these moms, every stinking one of them, got their phone up there while they're driving with the same hand. And I'm going, "What are you doing? You got your babies in the back. And you're like studying something at 7:30 in the morning." I'm thinking, this is not good. And so I'm pitching this attitude, right? Because when they're looking at the phone, they can't be doing what they're supposed to be doing, like getting out of my way. Oh, now see, you all can laugh at me like, "Well, that doesn't happen to me. I'm so spiritual." No, you're not. You look at somebody else's natural approach to life and you use a natural approach to chew them out. In your mind. And you do this. In the car. Nobody's looking. And if you're really good, you drive up beside the people and go. Only they didn't realize they did anything because they were watching their phone. They don't even know. They go, "What?" And so what do? "What's that guy's problem?" "Well, do you know that my problem is you?" And in fact, in some cases, my problem is so much you that I'm going to drive up beside you with an automatic weapon and shoot in your car. All because you weren't paying attention to your driving. Are you tracking with me? The minute you start down that road of natural, it does not produce the righteousness of God. See, he dwells in you. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is raising the caution flag regularly. There's an accident about ready to happen in your life. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. So he dwells with you in verse 17 and will be in you. And again, the implication is intimacy here. I will not leave you orphans. Oh boy. Here's what happens. Here's the fine print. Are you ready? When you get born again, the natural heritage that you had from your parents, from your father, is offered to you to be changed. When you get born again, you get, I know now all you fathers, just ratchet your attitude back for just a second. I know that we are evidently proud when our children act like us. I have four daughter-in-laws who regularly call their sons Glenn, and I regularly think that that's a compliment. Only it may not be by the way you guys laugh, right? Because in the natural, I'm going, hallelujah, I worked for 18 years of their life to get them like me. Only it's not such a good thing, right? You all know that? It's not such a good thing? Okay, very good. So here's what happens. He said, I won't leave you orphans. Why? Because he intersected with you at the point of your born again thing and changed the spiritual DNA of your inheritance. Now this is the fine print. If you continue to hope to live and react and act like your natural father, you will by default exclude the activity of your heavenly father. Well, my grandpa was this way, everybody in my family's this way. Yep, and there's no reward for being wrong longer. I mean, come on. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, he changes us through intimacy. He does. You say, well, but Pastor, what do I get to keep? Nothing. None of your old life is valuable enough to base your new life on. But what do? Well, see, now we got this suitcase that represents our life. And we look in there, and there's just some things in there, right, that are so important that we carry our past into our today, which affects our tomorrow. We'll empty the suitcase. You say, well, but I can't do that, Pastor. You don't understand. This is really valuable. No, it's only valuable to you. It's only valuable to you. But I've had people tell me this all the time, and they talk about, you know, their past, and their past is so far gone past that they ought to just let it die. But, oh, no, you got to understand, Pastor, this is really good stuff. It was good stuff 10 years ago. And what God is doing today might be different, or at least need an up-to-date vision. Can I point out to you that people are not getting saved any longer by cassette tapes? Stuff's changed. And I just want you can go out and check me on the internet. People who are preaching what they heard from somebody else are getting caught at it every day. Why? Because it's available to everybody. You can't preach someone else's message. You can't. Why? Because it's not yours. You don't own it in the spirit realm. What I'm teaching you today, I own this. Been there. I was convinced God should cut walls down and put a door in. I bang off walls all the time. And the worst ones are when you're just off by, how many ever caught your shoulder? Just on the edge of a door or something. And if you're tall, in I don't know why they do this, but hospitals do it all the time. First of all, they only build their ceilings in some of those areas about 7 feet tall, and then they hang an exit sign from it. Oh, yeah. And so I'm talking with people walking down, and you know, they hang it right in the middle. And I'm walking, and pretty soon, I'm not necessarily tall enough to whack it, but sometimes my hair sticks up just a little bit. And so the bottom of that exit sign grabs my hair. Okay, that's no fun. And of course, then there's a whole thing like, well, we should make the ceilings taller. The average height of a man is somewhere in the neighborhood of 5'8". I'm an unusually freakishly tall person. Well, I'm sure. I don't care what it is. Because it doesn't affect me. It's bad. There's a reason why there's a speed limit. Are you tracking with me? We understand the things we go through with our natural mind. And the small print, I hope you don't all go away from here and say, I can't believe all the trouble my pastor's been in, you know. I'm not trying to point that out to you. I'm trying to point out to you how we gauge every aspect of our life through a natural filter of understanding. That's what I want you to get. How many of you know I've known that I'm this tall for a great number of years? It didn't surprise me that I'm this tall. I've been this tall since I've been about 17 years old. You know, surprise. Nope, always been this way. How many of you recognize that's not what I'm trying to get across to you is the natural understanding of that. But that's what we do in life with the Spirit of God. We say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, change. Because the way you are is naturally filtered. Right? Are y'all getting this? Because you see, if you don't, then what happens is you don't recognize the small print of the Bible as a contractual obligation, essentially, or a covenant expectation between you and God. He wants you to be this way. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. What's that mean? It means when you recognize that your natural father is no longer the kind of genesis of who you are, you have a heavenly father. And yes, amen. You have a heavenly father. Someone whose actual spiritual DNA is flowing through you. See, I won't leave you orphans. What did he say? Do you see it? What's it say next? I will come to you. Oh, okay. Now wait. There is an expectation that God wants us to have about spiritual parenthood or spiritual reproduction. He says, listen, I'm coming to you. What does that mean? He means I'm going to come and engage with you over this situation. Okay, I can tell that some of you are going, yeah, I get it, Pastor. No. When your natural father came to you and wanted you to change, it was normally because that you saw that there was some sort of discipline that was necessary to kind of fix your life, to kind of make you something different according to your parents, right? Okay, so why does God come to us? Come on, if it's natural, we think, well, the only reason God comes is to knock a knot on your head so you can understand that he loves you. I didn't think my dad loved me. My dad had 8-foot-long arms and a hydraulically powered thumping finger. And he could reach down them wooden pews in the Presbyterian church and thump you in the back of the head and give you a concussion. Kabam! I'm thinking, well, that's how we live. Come on. Did you grow up in a church where quiet was like because you didn't want to wake God up or something? I mean, no, you can't make any noise. I thought, Tracy and I, before we were actually saved, we went to the Montevideo Bible Church, and I sat next to the wealthiest guy in town because at that point I'd left worshiping basketball and began to worship money. So it just made sense to me to find out where all the rich people went to church. And that's where we went to church because I read the Dale Carnegie book that talked about influencing people. So hang with the rich people. Cool. I like that. Only this guy, we sat down in the middle of a row because that's where he was sitting. He talked out loud through the whole service. I'm thinking, he must have been a single parent. His dad never thumped him. Man, he is talking. He's saying amen. He's leaning forward. I thought, you know, now that I know, I thought it wasn't good enough for him to get his hanky out yet, but that was some good stuff. He's talking the whole way through. And I'm thinking, now wait a minute. Why is he that way? If me, in my world, because everybody's like me, right? No, but yes. And so, you know, and so I thought, I had so many questions. Why is he talking? What was he doing? I mean, he was like saying amen a lot. I'm thinking, well, the only reason you say amen is that's when you pick up your fork. Come on. The only prayer that took place in your house was if you prayed over your meal. And when they said amen, it was time to eat. There was no prayer about life. It was just prayer over the food. And I got to tell you, my experience with my parents was that they never tried to poison me, not once. So my food kind of didn't need sanctified. It needed eaten. Are you tracking with me? And because of my orphan thing, I went, no, wait a minute. This is how my mom and dad were. And God said, no, but wait, we need to exchange some things here. He said, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. He's going to give you a spiritual DNA upload. Now, if you don't understand the fine print, then you'll sit there like a bump on a log in your church service when your spirit man on the inside is doing cartwheels. Well, I want to be dignified. Well, of course you do. Because in your natural world, see, that's why all you parents who don't want your kids to leave for children's church with a hoot and a holler, you go, be quiet. Yeah, I know the pastor's going to tell you to be noisy. Be quiet. Be quiet in church. Act dignified. Walk out of here in a nice row. I was a parent. I remember those days when you thought, oh, please don't let my kids act up. One of my sons, you know, my wife's been a single parent through our parenting time because I was always on the platform. And one of them, I don't remember which one it was, they'd acted up and Tracy was taking them out. And they hollered, don't hit me with the spoon, mama. Don't hit me with the spoon. Yeah. How many of you know that when your experience at, are you getting this? When you're see, I'm trying to get you to let go of the natural things and start saying, okay, well, now wait a minute here. That's how my natural father did it. How's my spiritual father? He said, I won't leave. He said, I'm going to come to you. What's he coming? I'm sorry, I'm out of time. What's he coming to bring you? See, a lot of times people say, well, my natural dad, he disciplined me. I get it. God disciplines. I understand that. But you know that you are a complete neophyte when it comes to how heaven works. He's bringing you how it works in the spirit realm. Right? And you say, okay, now, I gave that to you. Now, just ask yourself this question. Raise your hand. Don't respond or anything. How many of you are actually looking for the adjustments that the spirit realm makes for you as no longer an orphan, but rather having a heavenly father who's now spiritually DNA passing stuff on to you? See, it's... Here's the killer point. This is the same thing as my patience. It's in me. I refuse it. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you're no longer an orphan, and the Spirit of God, the Father, is coming to you as your Father to bring you this stuff. And the only way for it not to work in your life is if you resist it. Amen? Aren't you glad you learned about contractual obligations in your phone today? Because you see, the small print's pretty important. We got to identify. Because when you just put, see, many of you got saved by pushing the yes button. Something downloaded into you. It's okay. But now would you just cooperate? Because now God is trying to bring stuff to you through the Spirit of truth. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for teaching us by your word. We bless you, Lord God, for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To subscribe to our podcast, search New Life Eckley in all of the major podcasting apps. Audio and video of our sermons are posted at newlifeeckley.com/live, and you can watch sermon slices weekdays on social media. Search at New Life Eckley. Our main service is at 10 a.m. Mountain Time every Sunday. Thanks for listening.